This morning I want to speak to us about the spirit of abandonment. The spirit of abandonment. I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through verse 38. And verse 36 says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that Jesus would eat with him. And Jesus went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment." And anointed them with the ointment. Let's pray. Lord, we love you today. God, I just pray that you would just now begin just to speak your word right to our hearts, Lord. I just pray that your word would come to find its mark within our hearts. God, I pray that we would all walk out of here this morning just a greater love in our heart, a deeper depth of admiration, a deeper depth of worship. That God, we would walk out of our heart. We would walk out of this house, God, but not walk out of this house before our heart has truly bowed before you in adoration and in worship. Lord, we just give you all glory and honor for this service. It's been a good day in the house of the Lord. Now, God, speak to our hearts. God, our hearts are hungry. Our hearts are so hungry, Lord, and we just want you just to speak to our hearts and feel the hunger and the thirst of our hearts this morning. Lord, we give you all glory and honor for everything that you're doing. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Spirit of abandonment. Luke chapter 7, here we have the beautiful story of a woman who comes to the feet of Jesus in the house of the Pharisee. And she just goes down before him in brokenness and in worship. She goes down before him broken. She's broken by his goodness. She's broken by his mercy. She's broken by the tenderness of the Lord. She knows that she's not unworthy to be at his feet, but she knows that he has called her to his feet. Not with words, but with his very life, he has called her to his feet. And so she goes down before him broken, and this sinful woman knows that she's a sinful woman. She knows that she's not worthy to be at his feet. In fact, being in the Pharisee's house, she's surrounded by Pharisees. She's surrounded by, in that day, men who were esteemed to be great religious men. So I'm sure she feels in her heart that she's the most unworthy one there to be in the presence of Jesus. The word tells us that she comes to Jesus in the house of the Pharisee, and she's so overwhelmed that there's just this overwhelming want, there's this overwhelming desire that's in her heart. And that overwhelming desire in her heart was simply to wash his feet with her tears. There was just something in her heart. And she comes into the house of the Pharisee, and she falls down at the feet of Jesus, and she begins to wash his feet with her tears. And just thinking about this desire that was in her heart, to wash the feet of Jesus with her tears. Why was that in her heart? And I truly believe that was in her heart simply because Jesus had walked through her world. Jesus had walked in her place of pain. Jesus had walked through her place of fear. Jesus had walked through her place of grief. I'm very sure, just looking at this scripture, even though it doesn't say it, I'm very sure in my heart that this is not the first time that she sees Jesus. This is not the first time that she hears Jesus. I don't believe she would just go into the house of a Pharisee, to someone she's never seen, heard, or heard about before, with just wanting to wash someone's feet with her tears. No, she's seen Jesus before. She has heard Jesus before. And I can't help but think in my heart that before Jesus came to the Pharisee's house, maybe that day, or maybe the day before, Jesus was in her neighborhood. Jesus was on her street corner. Jesus was on her side of town, telling sinners about the love of God, telling sinners about how God is sending his son to reach out to you because the Lord loves the lost, and the Lord loves the hurting, and the Lord loves the broken. I can't feel, but in my heart, Jesus comes to her side of town. He comes to a side of town that a Pharisee wouldn't be caught dead in. And he begins to share the love of God with outcasts and share the love of God with those that the religious people had put away from them. Jesus had come to this place. And so she comes with this desire in her heart to wash those feet with her tears. She comes to the Pharisee's house with this desire in her heart to come and wash those feet that have walked through her world and walked through her pain and walked through her places of grief, and to just wash those feet with her tears. And brothers and sisters, this is a very beautiful story. This is a very tender story. And what I really want us to see here is the great display of her emotion. I really want us to see her great display of feeling here. I want you to look at verse 38 again. Verse 38 says, "And stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment." Brothers and sisters, when we really look at this scripture and we see this in our minds and we see this in our heart, this is a very moving scene. This woman, this sinful woman coming down before him in worship, this is a very touching scene. We look at this scene and we feel our hearts being stirred and we feel our hearts being moved. That's what's going on here. I believe many of us have heard sermons preached on this passage of Scripture. We have heard very anointed sermons preached on this passage of Scripture. Hearing that anointed sermon, there was something in our heart that brought a tear to our eyes. There was something in our heart as we heard these sermons brought a stirring to our hearts. I believe that there are many of us here that we have heard someone preach an anointed word upon these sermons, and we wept as we heard this sermon going out. And in our hearts, we prayed and magnified the Lord as this sermon was going out, and we was hearing this sermon. God was touching our hearts. And I believe all of us here today that are truly born again, we have lived this for ourselves. There have been those anointed times and services where we have bowed our hearts before Him, where we have been broken in His presence, weeping in humility and worship, sensing our unworthiness, but knowing He has called us to His feet. And it's a wonderful place to be. It's a wonderful place to be when you're in church and God shows up, like in the house of the Pharisee, when God shows up in your house, when God shows up in your heart, when God comes and takes a seat in our hearts and we begin to feel His presence. And feeling His presence, we just feel the warmth of His heart and we feel the tenderness of His heart. And we find ourselves broken in His presence. That is a wonderful place to be. It's a wonderful place to be when your heart is bowed before the Lord. You may be standing with your hands up, but you know your heart is bowed before the Lord, and you know that you're at His feet, broken at His feet, humble at His feet, praising the Lord at His feet, thanking Him for His goodness and His mercy. And even though we were unworthy, He has made us worthy. That is a wonderful place to be. It's a wonderful place to be. This morning, I believe there are people here who have experienced this today. During our worship service, you felt the tenderness of the Lord's presence and your heart was stirred. You wept in His presence. You whispered very intimate things in His ear as your heart was so moved this morning being in the presence of the Lord. But I want to say this from the Lord this morning, and I want you to receive it from the Lord this morning, because this is what the Lord put upon my heart for us this morning. It's not hard to become emotional in an anointed time of worship. It's not hard to become emotional in a corporate service when God's Spirit is moving. The Lord is touched when we are broken before Him, and the Lord is truly touched when we go down in humility and worship before Him. But worship cannot stop there. It cannot stop with the tears streaming down our face. It cannot stop with weeping in His presence. It cannot stop being caught up in the moment and whispering intimate words to His heart. It must take us to the place of abandonment. It must take us to the place where we are absolutely surrendering everything to Him and holding nothing back. It has to take us to that place. in verse 37 and 38. I want to read verse 37 and 38 again. It says, "And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment." So we see that this woman comes to Jesus. She comes before him broken. She comes before him weeping. She comes to him feeling unworthy, but at the same time she comes to him feeling his tenderness and feeling his goodness. And the Bible says that she weeps and she begins to wash his feet with her tears. But she doesn't stop there. She has an alabaster box. And the Bible says that she breaks this alabaster box, or she opens this alabaster box, and she pours this perfume, this oil upon Jesus. And brothers and sisters, we know what this alabaster box represents. It represents her greatest treasure upon the earth. In other words, she came to his feet with a desire, with one desire, and that one desire was simply this: to give him everything. To fully give him her life. To fully give him her heart, holding nothing back. That was the desire that was in her heart. This is the place where all of our tears and weeping and intimate words must take us. This is the place that where our emotion and depth of feeling must take us. It must take us to the place where we give him our hearts, where we give him everything. Brothers and sisters, I sense this morning what the Lord is speaking to someone's heart, or to many people's heart, is this: I see your tears, but now I want your heart. I see your display of emotion, and I see your display of feeling, but it has to bring you to a place, and that is the place of absolute surrender. That is the place of abandoning everything, your heart and your life, to me. The Lord is saying, I seen your tears, and I seen your feelings, and I seen your heated emotions, and I heard your intimate words, but now I'm asking you to give me your heart without reservation this morning. There's a verse in the scripture that is very precious to our hearts, and I just want to look at it. Go with me to Psalm chapter 56. Psalm chapter 56, one verse. Look with me at verse 8. Verse 8 says, "Thou tellest my wanderings." He says, "Put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" David says, "Put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in your book?" Now, the tears that David is talking about here is the tears of trial. He says, "Thou knowest my wanderings." He's running from Saul. He's running to and fro from cave to cave. And it's a very hard place for him. It's a place of struggle. It's a place of great grief. It's a place of wars, fighting wars, not just on the outside, but wars in the inside. It's a place of struggle here with David. And so David is talking about tears that are shed in times of trial, in times of going through the fires, in times of great struggle, when we weep and we cry before the Lord, when we are in our battles. And he says something very wonderful here. He says, Lord, he says, "Thou tellest my wanderings." He says, "Put thou my tears in thy bottle." And what he is saying is simply this: our tears are very precious to the Lord. In times of battle, in times of struggle, when we're fighting those wars and we're weeping in the presence of the Lord and we're at his feet, whether it's in our prayer closet or wherever, and we're weeping because we're in a time of trial and struggle, David says those tears are so precious to the Lord that he bottles every tear. Now, whether that's literal or figurative, I'm not sure, but the point is still the same. David is saying not one tear falls from the eye that is forgotten by the Lord. Each one of our tears are so precious to the Lord. But brothers and sisters, these tears not only speak of tears that are shed in times of trial, but it also speaks to me of tears shed in times of worship. When we are in a place of humility and worship, and the presence of the Lord comes and touches our heart, and we're broken by the tenderness of God, and we're broken by the goodness of God, and we just know that we know that we know we're not worthy to be in his presence, but in spite of our unworthiness, he's called us to his feet. When we go down before him, we go down in worship. And them tears are very precious to the Lord too. Any tear that is shed, whether it's tears in times of battle or just tears overcome by the goodness of God and going down in humility and worship, those tears are very precious to the Lord. Whatever those tears may be. And brother says, I want us to know this morning that God bottles every one of our tears. Whether it's in tears of trial or every tear we cry in the sanctuary because our hearts are so moved by the Lord. He bottles every one of those tears. He sees those tears. Those tears are very precious to the Lord. David says here, he says, "Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears in a bottle. Are they not written in your book?" In other words, are those tears will never be forgotten by the Lord because He has them on record. Has them on record. And that is a very comforting scripture. That is a very priceless treasure to our heart, to know that our tears are not forgotten by the Lord. But this morning, the Lord not only wants me to bring this scripture before our hearts, but there's another scripture that He wants to bring before our hearts this morning. I want you to go with me to the book of Malachi, chapter 2. Malachi, the last prophet, last book in the Old Testament. Verse 13. Verse 13 says, "And this have you done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that He regardeth not the offering anymore, or receiveth it with the goodwill at your hand." So the Lord is saying here, you come and you weep many tears on my altar. You come and you shed many tears in my presence. You come into my presence and you weep and you shed many tears. But the Lord says, but I don't regard those tears. The Lord says, I don't see these tears. The Lord says, I don't honor these tears. And why does the Lord say this? Why does He say that you come in my presence, you come to my altar and you weep many tears in my presence, but I have no regard for those tears? Why does the Lord say that? It's very simple. Why does the Lord say that? Well, there's a few reasons why when we come in the Lord's presence and we weep our tears, He doesn't regard our tears. What is one of the reasons? Well, one of the reasons is because of disobedience in our life. Just going right to the heart of the matter. We can read many things, but disobedience in our life. The Lord says, you come in my presence and you bow down before me and you bow your heart before me and you come down before me and you whisper sweet, intimate things and you weep in my presence as if you're weeping at my feet. But He says, I don't regard those tears because you know there's an area of disobedience in your heart. What's another reason why God doesn't regard our tears? He doesn't regard our tears because there are things that we hold back from the Lord. There are things in our heart that God says, I want you to give me. I want you to surrender to me. But we hold these things back from the Lord. In other words, there's something else that truly sits upon the throne of our heart. There's something else that truly has our affections more than Jesus has our affections. There's something more that we give our time and we give our focus to because it has our heart more than Christ has our heart. And Jesus says that you come into my presence and you shed these tears before me, but yet there's something else sitting upon the throne of your heart. And God says, I'm not going to take second place. But somebody would say, but Tim, the thing I'm holding on to or this area of disobedience, this is a small thing. It's such a small disobedience. But the Lord wants to tell us this morning, small disobedience is disobedience. It's disobedience. In love, I feel this is what the Lord is saying. There were a people worshiping this morning with heated emotion. But down in your hearts, you haven't given Him everything. You haven't truly given him all of your attention and your focus. For others, there are areas of disobedience, maybe small areas of disobedience. But the Lord says this morning, disobedience, small disobedience is disobedience. For others, I feel like the Lord is saying, you know deep down inside, you're harboring things that are displeasing to the Lord. The Lord is saying, I've seen your tears, but now I'm asking for your heart. Have you truly given me everything? Have you truly given me everything? Are you truly walking in obedience to everything that I've put before your heart? Not grievous things, just things that I've put before your heart. Are you truly walking in obedience? Brothers and sisters, I told you this morning this was going to be a short sermon. And here's my conclusion. When we parallel Luke chapter 7 with Malachi chapter 2, what do we see? What do we see? I want you to put your marker in Malachi chapter 2. And I want you to go with me back to Luke chapter 7. Look at verse 44. Luke chapter 7, verse 44. And Jesus turned to the woman and said unto Simon the Pharisee, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Jesus said, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. So, looking at Luke chapter 7, when we are broken in the Lord's presence, and we weep in His presence and worship and adoration, and those tears take us to the place of absolute abandonment, take us to the place where we give Him our greatest treasure, which is our hearts, without reserve. God says, them are the tears that move me. Them are the tears that touch my heart. Them are the tears that I will wipe from your eye, and I will place them in my bottle. Them are the tears. Them are the tears that are so precious in my sight. When they take your heart to a deeper place, and that's the place of abandonment. That is the place where I give you everything, Jesus, because you are worthy of everything. And it's not grievous for me to give you everything. It's my honor and it's my privilege and it's to your glory that I give you everything. The Lord says, them are the tears that touch my heart and them are the tears I put in my bottle. Go with me back to Malachi chapter 2. Again, verse 13. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying now, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering anymore, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hands. And this is what the Lord put on my heart to say this morning. When we weep a river of tears, but those tears do not take us to a place of fully surrendering our most cherished possession, our hearts. Our tears do not move him, and our tears do not touch him. Those tears must take us to the spirit of abandonment, totally abandoning our hearts and lives fully to the Lord. Them are the tears that will go in the bottle. Every other tear will miss the bottle. Do you hear me this morning? This is not the words of a man. This is not a man trying to bring heaviness on your service today. This is Jesus coming, saying, I've seen your tears, and I've seen your emotion, and I've seen your great display of feelings, and I am grateful for them. But unless they take you to a deeper place, they don't move my heart. Have you fully given me your life? Are you walking in obedience, or is there small areas of disobedience you know are in your life? Amen. And if you go through, don't you read it, let me just read it. The Lord's talking about not receiving the offering. And then they say, yet shall you say, why don't you receive our offering? Because the Lord hath been a witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet she is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. In other words, the Lord is saying relationships aren't right. Your relationship with your spouse isn't right. Your relationship with your children isn't right. Not, it's using the wife of the youth here, but it can go with any relationship. The relationships with people in the body of Christ that isn't right. And yet you come to me in an anointed service in very heated emotion and you weep and cry in my presence. But how many times have I spoken to you about getting this right? Getting it right with your wife. Getting it right with your husband. Getting it right with your children. Getting it right with people in the body of Christ. Lord has said, I've seen your tears, but now I'm asking you for something more. I'm asking for your obedience. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. The Lord looks past the tears and the heated emotion says, if you love me, you'll let me speak to your heart and you'll keep my commandments. Stand with me this morning. Father, we just want to thank you this morning for coming. God, what a wonderful time we had in worship this morning. God, the joy of the Lord just there. And Lord, I just thank you for the blessing of the song, and I thank you for the blessing of your anointing and your presence, God. And Father, I just thank you for our time of worship together, God. And Lord, we thank you for your word. Jesus, this was not the word of a man. Lord, this was your heart this morning. This was your heart, God. God, you're calling for everything. You are calling for absolute abandonment. God, you are calling for absolute surrender, Lord. And this morning, God, your heart has been so blessed as we came around these altars, God. And God, one more time, we gave you our hearts. One more time, Lord, we said it not just with our words, but we said it with our hearts. God, I lay my heart upon the altar. God, I lay my heart upon the altar, God, and I give you everything. God, I ask that when tomorrow comes, when Monday morning comes, God, you would remind us again of our commitments. God, you would remind us again of those things that we put upon your altar. And God, I pray that tomorrow, wherever we're at, on the workplace or ministering here at the Bible school, I pray, Lord, that our focus would be Jesus. I pray our vision would be Jesus. I pray the pursuit of our heart would be Jesus. I pray His will for our life, not our will be done, but your will be done, would be the passion exuberating from our hearts, Lord God. Father, these commitments we have made, Lord, we put them into your hands, and we know that you're more than able, God, to keep us. And God, we thank you for your goodness. And God, I thank you, Lord, that you blessed us, Lord. Our worship has come before you as a sweet fragrance. We have broken our alabaster boxes this morning. And God, you have received it, God, and you have been touched, and you have been moved, God, and that is our heart. Our heart, God, is just to refresh you. Our heart is just to bless you. Our heart is to bow before you, Lord, even though we are unworthy. God, we know that you call us to your feet. And our heart is just to come, Lord, and to pour our hearts and our lives out upon you. Lord, we give you all honor and we give you all glory. Lord, I pray, I thank you for the miracles that are going to walk out of this house. I know miracles are going to walk out of this house, God. And Lord, I thank you for your power and for your love and for your strength in our lives. And God, we just give you all honor and we give you all glory. And we just pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.